Music is powerful, isn't it? Do we got any fancy music here that you just enjoy music? You can hear different songs, and music can be powerful because it brings you back to different times and places. There are some songs that we sing, even on a Sunday morning or at other times, or I hear it, and it brings me back to high school youth group. And it's just, I just remember those being special songs at that time. There are songs that bring me back to my time in college. There are songs, as I hear them, they just remind me of my wife. Because whether something special happened around those songs or those songs that we listened together or things that we just had on repeat together, they bring back these memories. I also think of turning on the radio in the car and listening to a song that's there, and I can hear in the back seats, word for word, those songs being sung. And I think, man, how I can't follow along with all of those verses, and I don't have it memorized, but the kids do. They know those things, and it makes you wary to say, man, I need to be careful what we're listening to, because they memorize it. Songs are powerful. Things stick in their minds. And I think, man, studying and memorizing for a test is such a battle. But without even trying it, through music, things are memorized. Hymn writers know this. They know the power of music. And so for many of the hymns that we sing and that are precious to us, they are specific to teach us truths. Teach us truths in God's words more than we just sing with together corporately, but we take those back with us because those songs just keep running through our minds. I think of songs such as "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And even as I say that title, some of you have the tune rolling through your minds and maybe have some of those verses. Well, I want to read part of this song. And a lot of times we sing it, and if it's up there and we sing these songs, we just kind of go along with things. This time, we're not going to sing it. I want us to just listen to the words. What are the hymn writers saying? What are they trying to communicate to us? What are some of the things that they're trying to stick in our minds? So please listen to these words as I read them. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle." You see in this song this battle that's being discussed. Good versus evil. Where God is the fortress, and the reason that he is the fortress is because he is ultimate. Yes, there is a battle. There is a foe, Satan himself, and the many that follow him seeking to destroy God's plan. And we have this battle. And that song is saying, if we were to fight Satan on our own, we would be losing. Because we are not his equal. He is stronger than we are. But God sent Jesus Christ. He is our defender. He is the one. There is no equal to him. Satan does not compare. So with him on our side, we can be protected. God knows we are vulnerable, knows we need protection, knows we can't do things in our own strength. This is why in the Lord's Prayer, we have this next phrase.
We'll read the passage in whole, but I'll read it right now. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We need protected. Verse 13 contains this sixth and final petition of the Lord's Prayer, and it's going to be our text this morning out of Matthew chapter 6. So let's stand. I would encourage you, if you are able, to stand for the reading of God's words. And we once again are going to be reading through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. God's word says this: "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated. Let's take a moment now to pray that God would encourage us and challenge us as we look through this petition, really requesting, saying, "God, protect me." Let's pray. God, we recognize already this morning that you are powerful. There is no being stronger than you. There is no one that can thwart your will or stop your desires from happening. God, we also understand that we are frail, prone to wander, susceptible to temptation. And God, we need your strength. We need your protection. So God, as we look through this portion of the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, may it too become our regular prayer, saying, "God, please protect me because I need it. We need you, Lord." Teach us this morning through your words, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. This morning, as was mentioned, we're going to look at this prayer, and it really is focused around this idea of protect me. And as we look through this, we are going to look at three specific things. We're going to look at why we need protection. We're also going to look at what is the difference between temptations and trials, and what is really being communicated in this passage. And then finally, we're going to look at God is the answer. As we think of temptations and trials, he is the answer, that one, that bulwark, never failing, that mighty fortress. So let's start with looking at why we need protection. Now we see this, the Lord's Prayer, as part of a greater teaching of Jesus, and often understood as the Sermon on the Mount. And so that spans multiple chapters, chapter 5 through chapter 7. And so we're in chapter 6, so it's kind of smack dab in the middle of this sermon or this teaching that Jesus is doing. We have this prayer, and part of this prayer is, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Part of our goals this morning is saying, why is he choosing the various phrases that he uses throughout all of these different sections and phrases that he's teaching the disciples? Well, if we were to look at why this one in particular, all you have to do is go to Matthew chapter 4. Just before this Sermon on the Mount is giving, this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. You see that's the temptation of Jesus, where Jesus is out in the wilderness and Satan comes and three times tempts him, and Jesus does not fall to temptation, but uses the word of God to defeat Satan at that time. So this is not much longer. We see that even Jesus faced temptation. Now he's saying, disciples, you too are going to be regularly facing these temptations. He just has an example to pull from and teaching them. Obviously, he did because it's been recorded for us. So we see that temptation is present. Why do we need protection? Because the enemy is real. We don't always recognize it or see it, because it doesn't always show up in physical form right in front of our eyes, but we are in a battle. We do not live in a utopian society where there is no opposition. No, there is regular opposition. We see God's way, God's plan, and we see the world's way and the world's plan, and those two don't come together. They're opposites going in different directions. So there is this battle. We see throughout Scripture this call to be vigilant because the enemy is on the doorstep. We're going to look at some of those passages this morning, but we have to see that this is important. There is a battle. We need protection. We can't defend ourselves wholly. We would crumble if left to our own strength. Let's take a minute to see what does Peter say about this. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5, and we're going to be turning to a couple different passages this morning, so we're going to be flipping just a little bit. But 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 8 through 11. It says this: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We need protection because the evil one is trying to destroy us. Trying to destroy us as individuals through sin and temptation, trying to destroy us as a church body through the same means. John 10:10 gives us the warning and says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We are in a battle. We look away for a second, and all of a sudden, the enemy is on our doorstep, and we're being defeated. He is pushing back against us. We can't take for granted that life is just going to be good, that things are going to happen the way that we want them to. No, the enemy is here trying to destroy. We are up against someone who wants us to have no relationship with God and would rather us be separated from him forever. Prowling around looking for someone that just for a second lets their guard down and is able to get that foothold, giving us those temptations. Peter also tells us that we need protection because we will endure some suffering. It's not if in the passage there, it's when. It will happen. And it says the temptation takes place among the brotherhoods across the world. It's not just us. We don't experience special temptation. It's normal. It's regular for the enemy to attack. He says that we're going to have suffered for a little while. The Christian life is not easy. We don't surrender to Christ, accept his payment for our sins, and then have everything fall together nice and easy. Things generally will get a little more difficult because instead of going along with the ways of the world, we're fighting against it a little bit, so we may even get ridicule from people that we considered friends at one time. But our goal is not to honor and glorify them or ourselves. It's to honor and glorify God, the one that saved our souls. So we know that there will be some suffering. In the midst of that suffering, we can have multiple responses. We can have responses where that draws us closer to God, saying, God, I need you all the more. Or we can be pulled away from God, saying, God, why are you allowing this to happen? And to become bitter and angry with what's taking place. It can drive us to deeper dependence on God or create frustration with what God is doing around us. This is why we daily need to be praying, God, protect me. I know my heart is prone to wander. I know when I get in a hard place, I think of myself first. I need your strength to come and help me at this time. We know that God gives grace through suffering. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us about himself. He says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, talking about his thorn in the flesh, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We can't have this mentality that Paul had without his help. If we talk about suffering, Paul has a laundry list of things that he has gone through, things that he has personally experienced with suffering. He is content to go about suffering because God gives him the grace to endure. God gives him the grace and strength to make it through this. It shows God's strength when Paul is weak. We need God's protection to have this mindset like Paul. Final point coming out of 1 Peter is that we need God. The need for protection shows us that we need God. We can't do this on our own. Once again, that passage said, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We need his protection because we can't withstand the devil when he brings temptation to us. We can't stand on our own. We need protection. Now, we probably all know or knew beforehand we needed protection. We see that we are frail. We go through hardships. But we also need to understand, what do we need protection from, especially as we're looking at our passage in Matthew chapter 6. Going back to the Lord's Prayer, we lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Does God ever lead us into temptation? Is that his role? Is that what he does? In order to understand that, I think we need to take a little bit of time to understand what are trials and temptations according to God's words, and what is he doing? What are we to be praying for in Matthew chapter 6? So that's going to be our second main point this morning, is temptations and trials. If we don't have a grasp on what we're asking protection from, this part of the prayer can seem confusing and maybe even pointless. For example, our passage said, lead us not into temptation. How are we supposed to understand James 1:13, which tells us that God himself tempts no one? If he tempts no one, why do we have to pray to not be led into temptation? Could be confusing. So let's go ahead and look at that passage in James, because I think he lays it out a little bit to help us understand Matthew chapter 6 a little bit greater. So James chapter 1. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read this. It's a little bit longer section. We're going to look at a few points about this, but I want you to listen and follow on closely as I read this. I'm going to read the first 15 verses, and I want you to see if you can catch a transition that James makes in this passage. And so we'll get at that in a second, but look at the way that he talks about this idea of maybe trials and temptations and what that looks like for us. James chapter 1 says this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Focus in on this verse right here. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. What we see here is that James is making a distinction between trials and temptations. You may see verses 12 and 13, there's a break in there. Verse 2 and verse 12 are key verses for this idea of trial. You see verse 13 really goes into this idea of temptation, and they're different. They're discussed a little bit differently there. Looking at trials, trials as they are given are essentially are neutral. You can go one way or another. They bring kind of to a fork in the road where you have to make a choice. What am I going to do in the midst of this trial? You see, even James says, count it all joy when you come across these. It produces steadfastness. It leads to us being completed as believers. It helps us grow. So there's an interesting kind of dynamic as he's looking at those trials. But then you look at verse 13 and temptations. Temptations, he clearly says, these are not from God, but they come from our own desire. Temptation, it comes, it's not neutral, but it's on a negative side of things. Temptation to do something wrong, that is kind of in context what it's talking about in that section. So we have a distinction between these two ideas of trial, which is neutral, which we can go one way or another, and we're supposed to have joy with that. And then we have temptation, something that is negative, temptation to do something that is wrong, a distinction between the two. Now we kind of come back and we see what is happening in the Lord's Prayer. What is he talking about there? If we were to go back to the words in its original language used with Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, we'd see that it identically matches up with what James uses as trial. So it's this neutral where you can choose one way or another, sometimes leading to those temptations. not necessarily a temptation to do what is wrong in Matthew, because God would not tempt us. We saw that very plainly and clearly. So we're not praying or pleading for God to keep us from tempting, from him tempting us, but we're requesting that he keep us from trials. Now, again, we have some of that tension there, because James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you come across those. So essentially what we're looking at is we're not to choose pain. We're not to say, God, land all these very hard trials on me. I'm just looking for it. I've got broad shoulders. I can handle this. We're not asking for those situations. We're saying, God, please keep situations where it could lead to temptation to sin away from me. Protect me. Keep me pure. But we look at the continued part of that prayer. He's also saying, but if it comes, if you deem it good for me that I go through a testing period so that my character can be refined, keep me from evil. Deliver me from evil. When those trials come and I'm not seeking them out, I need to be delivered. I need your strength to withstand those situations. Let's kind of go through an example. Hopefully, make this clear for us. Let's say I struggle with patience with my children. Now, don't dig too deep and go ask them, because this example may hit a little closer to home than I'd like to admit. But if I'm struggling with patience with my children, I come to the Lord and say, I say, God, I want to be different in this area. I know you want me to be patient. I know that's your desire for my life. I want you to make that happen. Please change me in that direction. Now, sometimes he may just like, boom, you're different. But most of the time, that's not how God works. A lot of times as we go through that, then we have some of these trials that James talks about, and it's a refining period where he says, all right, I'm going to give you a situation where this can help you. So it may be that I come home one day, and for whatever reason, maybe they had a bad day at school, maybe they've been frustrated with each other, but they're testing my patience. They're not listening maybe as I would desire them to. I have a choice, because I am in the middle of that trial of saying, God, I want to be refined with patience. I can respond the way God desires in being patient and say, God, this is how you want me to be a parent and to lead these children, be an example to them. Or I can go another direction and I can say, their attitudes are an affront to my honor. I am the authority in this relationship and I want them to listen to me, so I'm going to put my foot down and make sure that happens. So I'm not going to be patient with them. I'm going to force my will. So as we come to that trial in particular, at least when I do, I can say, God, I want to honor and glorify you and do what you desire, or I want to honor and glorify myself because my honor has been attacked. So as we have these trials, I don't find those trials pleasant. Going and having a hard situation where I've got to like really rely on the Lord because everything within me wants to defend my own honor. But I say, I'm not there for my honor. I'm there to honor and glorify God. So it's in those situations that, yes, it's difficult. I don't choose to be in those situations, but God can use them to develop patience in me. As I say, God, work in me. Help me to be that example to my kids, and it refines my character. So that's where we have that prayer for Matthew. Don't lead me into temptation. God, I want to be protected from situations that can lead me to sin. But as you choose them for me, and as you say, this is going to be good for your character, please help me. Deliver me from evil. Don't allow me to fall into my own sin to honor myself. That's what Jesus is getting at here. This needs to happen regularly, daily, Because we come across these things daily where we say, God, I know situations are going to happen today that are going to test me, that are going to put me in the midst of a trial, and I need your strength today, this very hour, to be able to withstand what comes and be delivered from evil or the evil one. This leads us to our final point this morning in saying that God is the answer. We don't rely on ourselves. We see even in that prayer where he says, you know, the very beginning of this is our Father in heaven. We are to pray to God, God, please deliver me from these things that can lead me to temptation. And when temptation comes, I need your strength. As we think about God being the answer as it relates to trials and temptations towards evil, let's reflect on 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Paul uses both the words for trials and temptations in this verse right here. So we see him kind of going back and forth and using these same ideas that, yes, God is the one that delivers us from both these trials and temptations. So as we think about this prayer that we have, that Jesus is teaching the disciples, we can have confidence that God is the one that delivers. God is the answer. And we see a little bit through this verse how that takes place. And so let's look at that for a second. The first thing that we see from this verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is God is making an exit. He's making an exit. He's not leaving us in a place where we're going to fail. He is making an exit. When the trials are present and we're tempted to pursue evil, God makes a way out. We have a choice. No matter how strong the temptation to do wrong is, no matter how ingrained in that sin we are, God provides an escape. He provides an exit. That's part of that protection that he gives that we are praying for. Sometimes we just need to see what that escape is. This should give us great confidence. Because so often we feel like we are enslaved to sin. And often we are because we continually give into it. We have surrendered our will time and time again to where we just feel like I'm propelled this way. But even in being propelled that way, God gives a way of escape. God is there to be our protector from sin. He always makes a way out, no matter how dark the situation is. Pray that we would see this way that he makes for us to be delivered from sin and temptation. If it's a sin that we're regularly engaged with, we may have to talk to someone else about it. Keeping that hidden inside of ourselves just allows us to, in secret, continue going that direction, continue engaging in that sin. There are times when God, as our protector, sends brothers and sisters, what we call the church, to be that level of defense that we need. God may be using other believers as that way out. They can kind of, from an outside view, see what's going on and maybe help us understand, where am I most likely to sin? Where am I most likely to face this temptation? They can help us pre-plan walls of protection. God can use one another for that. Look around this room for a second, and I want to point out something to your attention. If you see an orange sign above that door, 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 and the three up in the balcony, what do you see there? Exit signs. What's the purpose of an exit sign? if there's an emergency that points in the direction that we need to go to get to safety. If something were to happen in this room, the lights go off, power goes off, and or something else takes place, we have a fire or something else goes on, we look to those exit signs because those are to be signs of safety, directing us to where we can get out of a difficult place. That's what God is. He gives us those exit signs. Sometimes through people, they're there. We don't often notice them. I mean, until I pointed it out, you probably didn't even recognize they were there because they become commonplace. We need to see those exit signs that he has created for us to get to safety. Sometimes we see them in people. Sometimes we see them in memorized scripture that he can use to bring back to our minds when we're in the midst of those temptations. Sometimes he uses various other ways, but we need to be looking and say, God, where is that exit sign? Where have you placed it for this particular sin or temptation that I'm constantly dealing with? Where is that exit sign? We also see from that verse that we read, God limits temptation. God limits temptation. God says, or Paul says in that 1 Corinthians passage, that God will not allow us to be tempted to do evil beyond our ability. One, we can have confidence that he knows us. He knows our abilities. He knows where we're weak. He knows where we're strong. And it says he won't tempt us or allow temptation to take place beyond our ability. God limits what temptation can assail us, can come against us. He limits the battle on the front that comes towards us. That should be confidence for us. If we think about the person of Job, he's probably the greatest example where we get a snapshot of what takes place beyond kind of that spiritual realm. The clouds get rolled back a little bit, and we get to see an interaction between God and Satan as it relates to this man, this human, Job. And Satan says, I want to get him. As God says, look at this man, righteous and holy. And Satan says, he's only righteous and holy because you protect him. You remove some of that protection and give me some rain on that, I'll show you that his faith in you is very small. God allowed a little bit. He says, you can do this, but you must stop here. He knew Job's limits. He knew Job's strengths. And he stopped temptation from going beyond where Job could handle it. God limits temptation. This means that we don't have the excuse, I couldn't help it. So often as we think about sin, especially ones that we've been going to often, and we just say, I couldn't help it. That's just the way I was going. If that's our mindset, we don't believe God and his words. We can't use this as justification for giving in to our sinful desires. We need to stop lying to ourselves if we say that and ask for forgiveness. Because that's limiting God's strength and power in our lives. If we say, I couldn't help but sin. That's saying the power of sin is greater than the power of God. That's simply not true. That's again why we need to pray daily, God, protect me. Protect me from what's going on out there because it is strong. Protect me, continue that limiting. We want to thank you for that, but I constantly need to have that mindset. Third from our passage in 1 Corinthians there is that God is faithful. That passage says God is faithful. It means we can trust that he is really making an exit, limits temptation. He is there for our protection. He is that strong tower, that bulwark never failing. He is faithful. even as we falter at times, even as we are weak at times, God is faithful. We are never left on our own to handle life's situations on our own. He is our protector. We need to run to him daily, crying out to him to be that protector, because we cannot navigate life on our own. It will swallow us up if we try. We can rest in the promise that God is faithful. So be looking to God as your protector. Be relying on him. As prayer was taught to the disciples, make that a part of your regular prayer life, saying, God, protect me. Deliver me from these trials that lead me to temptation as they come. I need your strength to withstand them. Please be there for me. One, that shows humility on our part. If we go about our day without coming to God saying, protect me, we're essentially saying, I've got this. I can handle this. As temptation comes and we see it there, we don't come and say, God, protect me. We're saying, I can handle this. I've got broad enough shoulders. I've done it before. I can do it again. That's precisely when the evil one will come and devour us, because we cannot withstand him on our own. So there's an element of daily, make this a habit. Daily, come before the Lord and say, I'm going to go through struggles. I need you today. Humble yourselves. I need to humble myself regularly. And understand that God is the answer. Look for those exits. Take peace that he limits temptation to where it's not above where we can handle. And praise him that he is faithful. Let's pray. God, you are wise in knowing us so well. You know our weaknesses, you know where we are prone to fail, and yet you bring protection. You limit what comes to us, and even as we're in the midst of temptation, you're right there by our side, protecting. God, help us not to go through life on our own, but help us to have this mindset of understanding that you are trying to develop character in us, so trials will come, but that we need you and your strength in the midst of those trials, or we're going to be tempted to glorify ourselves rather than honor and glorify you. God, there are probably many in this room that as we think about sin that we struggle with often, something immediately comes to mind. God, may we be humble enough to come to you first and say, God, I can't do this alone. And then come to a brother or sister and say, I need you to walk alongside this with me. Help us to be open and vulnerable with one another so that we can care for one another deeply. So that we can do exactly what James says. We can rejoice when trials come, because we see how you build us through them rather than seeing consistent and regular failure in those areas. Protect us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Go in peace this morning.